Was a reality, God had given the world, through the writers of the Holy Scriptures, advance notice. Prophetic accounts of the coming Messiah Redeemer are woven throughout the Old Testament. Salvation was coming. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Prophet Isaiah continues, and cry that her warfare is finished, that all her iniquities are pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people. No general announcement of Christ's soon coming miracle birth were given. God worked quietly with individuals and small groups of people. By his command, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said,
Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Hail thou that art highly favored. Shalt call his name Jesus.
He shall be great. He shall be great and shall be called.
And shall be called the Son of the Highest.
He shall be great.
He shall be great
and shall be called.
And shall be called the Son.
Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary's reaction was one of obedience, praise, adoration, and anticipation. She was chosen by God to bear, by the divine power of the Holy Spirit, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Listen to her reaction as recorded in Holy Scripture. Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying,
Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
No adoring throng greeted the Christ child. The atmosphere and animals of a stable were his audience. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them,
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, which shall be to all people.
Good tidings of great joy,
good tidings of great joy, great joy.
To you this day is born a Savior, Christ the Lord, a Savior, Christ the Lord,
a Savior.
Swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Good tidings of great joy, good tidings of great joy. The Savior Christ the Lord is born. Good tidings of great joy.
Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God!
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 Glory to God, glory to God.
The journey of the Magi was a long and difficult one. The men had been traveling for some time. That scripture story unfolds for us now. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt." The message of Christmas is not shepherds, but the Savior. Not ritual, but the Redeemer. Not songs, but the very sinless Son of God. Not presents, but the Prince of Peace.
For unto us a child is born,
unto us a son is given, I'd like to invite you to stand with us once again as we turn to hymn number 93, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hymn number 93.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sing. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, Christ by highest heaven. Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our
Please be seated, Pastor.
All right, Kay, don't go all the way to your seat. Mary and Kay, would you come up here, please? We just want to acknowledge the most significant parts in this cantata, and that was the director and the pianist, because without either one, we couldn't do the cantata. I'm thankful for all the work they've put into it, their patience with us, and this is new music to every one of us, and so I'm thankful for how the Lord allowed it to come together. So I give him praise for that, but we just want to give a little token of our appreciation to Mary and Kay just for all the work that they've done, and just we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you for your service to the Lord. I want to take a few minutes and just share some things from God's Word with you. If you'd turn to Isaiah chapter 9 with me. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. These are verses that are printed in the bulletin if you want to look there. But I just want to talk a little bit about the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's have a word of prayer if we would. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the message and song. Father, we thank you for the promises that you've given in your word, the prophecies that have been fulfilled concerning your son. Father, I pray as we take just a few minutes to look at this passage and to look at the things about Jesus Christ, that you would help us to understand more about you, that you would open our spiritual understanding. Father, I pray that our hearts would be challenged and encouraged this morning through the things that we learn. I pray that you'd help me to be clear and accurate in my thoughts and speech. I pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. What is peace? Is peace the absence of conflict? Is it the freedom from stress? Is it freedom from or elimination of all trials? I propose to you this morning that peace is strength in the midst of conflict. It's wisdom in the midst of stress. It's calm in the midst of trials. As long as we're here on this earth, we will not be free from conflict or stress or trials. But peace is being able to have the right perspective and response in the middle of them. What is prince? What is a prince? Well, the prince is the son of a king. And he has all access to the throne room, and he can grant access to anyone he chooses. You know, the story is told about little Tad Lincoln. And he's wandering around, playing around in the White House lawn. And there's a soldier that's walking around the outside of the gates, and he's looking for a way to get in, and they've refused entrance at the gate. And finally, this little boy sees this soldier, and he introduces himself, and he says, what are you doing? He says, "I'm trying to get in to see the president." He says, "Well, come with me. I can take you to him. He's my daddy." Tad was able to take him to the president. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He gives us direct access to the Father that we wouldn't have otherwise. When Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace, it is because he is the one that brings peace to man from God the Father. He is the one who provides us access to the Father. I want us to look at a couple things this morning. The first one is we must draw our peace from the right source. We must draw our peace from the right source. Men have tried over and over again to find peace. Whether it's peace with another nation, whether it's peace within our own country, whether it's peace with the neighbor next door, we've tried and tried and tried to find peace. We've tried treaties with other nations and hoping it come to a peaceful agreement. But something happens, somebody becomes disgruntled, and once again we have war. How about in our nation, some group has some civil issue, and so we have riots, we have chaos, we have destruction. Our neighbors next door, and sometimes it seems like we have a peaceful neighborhood, but then the noise is broken by somebody's loud music. Somebody's dog runs throughout the neighborhood causing havoc, and again, once the neighborhood is characterized by strife. It's hard to find peace in this world. What has happened? Why can men not seem to find or maintain peace? Because he's trying to draw peace from the wrong source. He's trying to draw peace from himself and what he can do. Anytime that we think we can have peace by our own standards, by our own ability, we are woefully wrong. The Bible says in Psalm 29, verse 11, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Isaiah 26, 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Isaiah 26, 12 says, "Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Thou hast wrought all our works in us." Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And then we see in Galatians 5, 22 that one of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. True peace only comes from God. Jesus said in John 14, 27, he says that he gives peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." give I unto you. You see, the world's peace doesn't last. The world's peace can't satisfy that need that we have for peace. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, when the shepherds announced to the, or when the angels announced to the shepherds that Jesus was coming, we see in that passage, they say that peace has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me read that for you. Luke chapter 2, we'll read verses 10 through 14. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, peace had come in the person of Jesus Christ, and the angels announced that to the shepherds. We have to draw our peace from the right source. The second thing I want us to look at is we must follow God's plan to have peace. We've already seen that we can't have peace within ourselves in our own strength and effort. So how do we have peace with God? How do we have that peace? How can we have peace with one another? How can we have peace in the midst of conflict or stress or trials? How do we have peace with God? First of all, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus come? He came to make it possible for man to have peace with God. You see, because of our sin, the Bible tells us we are enemies of God. There is a barrier between us and God because of our sin. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 57, verse 20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. We are enemies of God. We will not have peace as long as we're fighting against God. As long as we're at odds with God, we won't have that peace. And our sin is what causes us to be enemies of God and to be separated from him. But you see, God loves us so much. And John 3:16 tells us that. And he didn't want us to be separated from him. He didn't want us to have that barrier there. He didn't want us to live with our sin. He wanted us to enjoy the blessings of fellowship with him. He wanted us to enjoy a walk with him. And so John 3:16 says he gave his only begotten son. You see, what we were saying about this morning, we read about this morning, how that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a baby, to grow up to become a man, to take upon him our sins, and then to die on the cross for those sins, and to raise again so that he would show that he had the power over sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 57 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So back to Romans 5:1, it says we have peace with God by being justified by faith. It's not enough to acknowledge that Jesus came to this earth. Everybody can say, yeah, Jesus was born at Christmas time, right? It's not enough to acknowledge that. We must believe that he came to die on the cross for our sin. We must accept his sacrifice as for our sin as sufficient and as the only way for man to be reconciled to God. And that's where faith comes in. It's believing that he did it for me. It's believing that he did it for you. Isaiah 32:17 says, the work of righteousness shall be peace. That work that God does in our hearts, when we'll accept his sacrifice alone, is what brings peace. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross brings peace with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, for he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So Jesus Christ went to the cross. Why? So that we could have peace with God. So that we could be reunited with him when reconciled to him. We can't have peace with God by our own works. The Bible tells us in Titus 3:5, as it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not by my good works that I'm going to get to heaven. The Bible describes my good works as filthy rags. It's not by our money. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 19, a rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, how can I inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, keep these commandments. He says, well, I've done that. He says, then go sell what you have and give to the poor. And it says the man went away sorrowful because he had great possession. He wanted to hold on to his money, but his money wasn't going to get him eternal life. The only thing that was going to get him eternal life was faith in Jesus Christ. The third thing, another thing I want us to see here about peace, and that is peace with one another. How do we have peace with one another? We see how we have peace with God, and that is being justified, as receiving Christ as our Savior. How do we have peace with one another? Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So a love for God and his word will help us to have peace with others. Our focus should be on him and not centered on man. We usually find ourselves at odds with others when we get our focus off of God. It seems kind of different to say that, but when our focus is on God and who he is, our relationship with others is what it needs to be. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Genesis 43, verse 23, Joseph's brothers came to him. And they're trying to figure out how they got the money back in their bags after they had gone home. And Joseph says, peace be to you. He said, I had your money. It was all taken care of. And then we see in chapter 50, verses 19 and 21, when his brothers were fearful that Joseph, after their father had died, that he was going to come down, he was going to rain punishment down on his brothers. Joseph says, am I in the place of God? It's not my responsibility to take care of that. God will take care of that. But God used me to preserve your lives. See, Joseph's focus was on God. And so that's how he was able to maintain peace with his brothers. So when we realize that God is in control of all things, that everything and everyone that God brings into our lives is to draw us closer to him, we can have peace with one another. You say, but they're so difficult. I know. But God intends for it to draw us closer to him. You say, but I can't deal with this situation at work. I know. But God intends to draw us closer to him. Everything and everyone he brings into our lives, it's intended to draw us closer to him. The third thing I want us to see this morning in our peace is peace in the midst of conflict and stress and trials. David says in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Isaiah 26, 3, we read that a little bit ago, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. John 16, 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then Colossians 3, 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How is it that Jesus was able to sleep in the midst of a storm in the bottom of a boat? His disciples were frantic. He says, Jesus, what are you doing asleep? How was he able to do that? Because he knew the one who was in control of the storm. He knew the one who was in control of all things. He had peace because he knew what he was going through was the will of his Father. And he had peace because he knew that his Father knew what was best. The only way we're going to have peace in difficult times is if we will rest in the fact that God knows where we are, he knows what we're going through, he knows what we need, and we are under his protective hand. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It doesn't describe what it is. It had something, whether it was a physical ailment, that we don't know. But he says, God, please remove this thorn in the flesh from me. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, Paul, I will give you the strength to deal with it. You'll go on and you'll have that thorn in the flesh, but you'll have the strength to deal with it. Peace in the midst of difficulty begins by having a personal relationship with God. We cannot have peace in any situation if we don't have that right relationship. He created all things and he sustains all things. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We can have peace when we have a right relationship with him. So why did Jesus come? Why is he called the Prince of Peace? Luke 1:79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. See, Jesus came to provide the only way for us to be reconciled to the God of peace through salvation. He came that we might have peace in our daily fellowship with him. And so Jesus came that we might have that on a daily basis. And I trust if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can have peace in your heart today. You can know him today. It's not a difficult thing, but you have to admit that you have to confess your sin before a holy God and say, God, I've sinned. That's separating me from you. And you come before God and say, God, I have sinned. And I realize that all I can do to pay for my sin is to trust in your sacrifice on the cross. And accept that as payment for your sin. Receive him as your Savior today. And the Bible says if you will do that, if you will confess with your mouth, you will believe in your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. And you can have eternal life. And you'll never perish. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to take on the likeness of men. Father, we thank you that he came to be a man, also to be God, but he came that he might identify with man, that he might take on man, that he might die for our sins. Father, we thank you that it's only through his sacrifice that we can know you as Savior, that we can be reconciled to you and we can know true peace in our lives. Father, if there's someone here this morning that needs to know you as Savior, I pray that you would stir their heart. And I pray that they would come and they would talk to us. Father, we'd love to take that opportunity to share with them how they can know you in a personal way, how they can have peace in their lives from this point forward because of their walk with you. We thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.